Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Scripture says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." In today's message, Pastor Joel shares the power of relinquishing our will for God's will, entitled Meekness versus Weakness, Adopting the Mind of Christ.
The name of the sermon today is Meekness versus Weakness, Adopting the Mind of Christ. Meekness versus weakness, adopting the mind of Christ. And that's what it means. We're going to be looking at what it takes and what it means to walk in Christ Jesus. What it truly means to walk in Christ Jesus. And anyone who is considered to be a Christian likely knows what it means. But what the phrase means when we say being in Christ or being in Christ Jesus, that means, of course, that we are followers of Christ, okay? We are believers in Christ. That's what that means, to be in Christ or to be a follower of Christ. It means that you believe in him, all right? Even more though, it means being or aspiring to be a disciple of Christ. And that goes to the next level. You can be a believer but not really be a disciple. But we're not gonna compare semantics though. I just want you to know that being in Christ Jesus means following Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about that today. For example, if you've ever patterned yourself around someone, maybe your father or your mother, undoubtedly you found yourself to take on the mindset, the habits of that person, right? And like you hear people say, "Oh, I'm just like my mother. I think like her. I act like her. You know, she always says such and such when we were young." That's patterning. You unconsciously, you pattern yourself after your mother. You've taken on some of her characteristics. I've heard wealthy, strong athletes say, "Oh, my grandmother, man, my grandmother was something else. My grandmother told me such and such, and she used to always say, boy, such and such and such. You know, she was right about that." Now, I never forgot that. That's how you pattern yourself around or after someone. We even have people who are graduate students in school, people who have received their degrees and masters and PhDs, and undoubtedly you'll see these men and women that they have patterned themselves after a man of science or a woman of science or psychology, someone in the field whose theories and ideas they came to believe in, all right? So they adopted the same mindsets of those people. Some people adopted Ivan Pavlov's theory and Sigmund Freud's theory and all these things. The Darwinian theory, that was way off track. But a lot of people patterned themselves and they adopted that mindset, okay? You see, when we study under the teachings of men and women and we employ their theories, their principles, and their opinions, that's what happens when we study under people. And quite naturally, you're going to wind up adopting the mindsets of those people, all right? Whether it's male or female. And that's okay. It's all right to a point, as long as what they're saying is accurate, depending on who the person is that you're following, all right? Now, what we need to recognize, though, is that in all the brilliance that mankind has, man is still just a man. You get what I'm saying? With all of man's brilliance and his intelligence, he's still just flesh and blood.
Amen.
All right? And that means that he has limited or finite understanding or capability. You see? But watch this. We as Christ followers, on the other hand, we're privileged. We are honored that we've been favored to be able to adopt the mind and the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus trumps all the learning we could ever learn anywhere else, okay? Because it's Jesus who created mankind. So Jesus created the mind of man. And he serves to be the ultimate example for all mankind to emulate and follow. That's what you need to understand. And the reasons we need to follow Jesus are extensive and far-reaching. It's more than you can ever understand. It's more than we would ever understand as human beings, to following Jesus, the reasons we need to follow him. And I'll get into that somewhat in this sermon. So let's go to our Bibles. And I'm going to ask my wonderful, you know what I mean when I say wonderful? I'm saying O-N-E-R-F-U-L, wonderful, because there's only one like her. My wonderful wife, pastor, sister, friend, and sometimes mother. Annalisa Jones.
Praise
and take
God.
Us. Take us to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to ask her to read chapters verse 5 all the way down to verse 11. We don't usually read this whole thing, but I'm going to let her read, ask her to read that today, please.
Okay, praise God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Mm-hmm. Verse 8 says of Philippians chapter 2, "And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself."
Humbled himself.
He humbled himself.
He did.
"And became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Mm-hmm. "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in the heaven and those on earth and those under the earth." Mm-hmm. "And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father."
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. That was some good reading.
Praise
there's
God.
Reading and there's good reading. That was some good reading.
Praise
okay.
God.
Okay. Now, we see in this very popular verse, we see that we are commanded to adopt the mind of Christ, all right? And what is the mind of Christ? Well, the mind of Christ is laid out right here. It's laid out in this passage of scripture. It's one of humility. The mind of Christ is one of humility. The mind of Christ is one of meekness. We see that, right? The mind of Christ is one of meekness. It says that Jesus humbled himself. Now, this text tells us that Jesus was humble and that he gave up his rights. Now, listen to me. Jesus gave up his rights.
Hmm.
And I don't know if any of us, as I said, man, is intellectually, we could be bright, but we're not that bright. I don't know if we can understand intellectually as human beings the magnitude of this type of humility. See? Because I feel like you'd have to be God to really understand what God gave up for us. You see what I mean? How can we understand the magnitude? Pastor, you chopping down trees? You're making me nervous, sister. And
yes.
How can we understand the magnitude of what God did when he left his heavenly throne room and came in the flesh of man? See, because Jesus was the pre-existent God of the universe. He existed before the universe. He was full of glory, power, dominion, majesty, all that was his, the deity. And he left all that in order to submit to the will of his Father.
Amen.
Amen. He submitted to the Father in order to what? Save mankind.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what Jesus did. Can you imagine, saints? I don't know. Can you imagine what that would require for you or I to relinquish everything you have right now? Whatever it is. I don't know. Your job, your house, your finances.
Children.
Let go of every privilege. Leave your children, leave your babies, give up everything, every right you have, and then live as servants. That's what Jesus did.
Bond servants.
He said the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. He gave up everything. He laid down his life. Let me put this in a more graphic term. Would you give up everything you have to live as a slave? I don't think so. I think it's fair to say that not many of us here today can truly say that we would be able to do that or be willing to do that. Shoot, some of us won't give up our time to go to church, not if we're golfing on that day. Mm-hmm. Let's tell it like it is. But to give up everything for mankind, I don't think we would do it. It'd be just impossible. It'd be almost impossible for us to do that in our own strength. Is that right? In our own strength, it's going to be hard. You won't give up your parking place at the grocery store. If you pull in and you're in a hurry, you just might say, I was here first. And we want to give up the things that God gave up. That was big. What Jesus did was big. But that's what happened. And he did it. Why? Because he's God. Mm. He's God. And his love and his strength, the strength of his love, rather, is supernatural. See, Jesus employs an agape love. And that's something we don't have as natural human beings. His love is agape, and that means selfless, not selfish. There's a difference. Selfless and unconditional. And that's what we come to see when we read about Jesus humbling himself and making himself of no reputation. He put himself last. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself took the form of man, a lowly human being, in order to save human beings. That's amazing. All right. Now, that's why I love Jesus. That's why Jesus is my hero.
Yes.
He is my only hero. First and all time hero. I thought I had heroes, and I didn't find a hero until I met Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus, and that's why I'm pastoring now, because I owe him more than I could ever repay him. And if you know Jesus, I'm confident that you feel the same way also. I'm sure you do. You wouldn't be here. And all of you on Zoom, you wouldn't be stacked on my table right there, right now, living like anointed Hollywood squares. You wouldn't. So I know you love Jesus. I thank y'all for that. Praise God.
Praise God.
I even see my sister-in-law, little Felicia. Praise God.
Praise God.
This is what but see, in the world, we typically hear phrases like, only the strong survive. And you gotta be first. Go for all you can. Go for the gusto. These are terms that we hear in the world. Meekness is weakness. We hear that in the world. We're taught to go for it. We're taught to get all we can, to be first, to show your strength, and that type of thing. But let's see what the Bible says. Because if you know your Bible, you'll come to find out that there's something different that the Bible says. I'm going to ask Pastor Annalisa to take us to the book of Psalms and read Psalm 25 and 9. Psalm 25 and 9.
25 and 9 says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way.
All right, thank you, Pastor. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. And this is talking about the Lord. This scripture right here, and that's why the Lord put it in front of me. It says that he guides the humble. That's what it's saying. He'll teach the humble the right way to go.
The humble.
You see what I mean? And in the King James Version, that humble says the meek. It's translated to say the meek. So he teaches the meek in his way. He guides the meek in justice. Okay, so those two words are interchangeable. I want you all to know that, because when you read your Bible, you'll see some words that are interchangeable and they mean the same thing in that context. So in this meaning, it's clear either way that the Lord God guides and teaches those who are meek and those who are humble.
Thank
now,
you.
So that means that if you want to be taught by God, if you want to be in his classroom, you can't be in there acting up. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't be taught properly by God if you think that you're the cat's meow. Hmm. If you think that you got all the answers and you are the one that's the one, you know, you
the only God,
the one, then it's going to be hard for you to learn in God's classroom, mm-hmm. because he says he teaches and guides the humble and the meek. That's telling us something, folks. That's telling us. It's clear either way. And that's what I mean. We're reminded then that if we expect to be taught and tutored by the Lord, meekness and humility is a prerequisite for success. Did you hear me? If you want to be taught by the Lord, I don't care what you are, I don't care who you are, pastor, vocalist, deacon, cook, janitor, whomever. If you want to be taught by the Lord and you want him to teach you, save people, unsaved people, you're going to have to be humble. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to be teachable. Mm-hmm. My instructor who just passed recently, I've known him for about 40 years, 45 years. He passed away recently. God bless him. And he told me a long time ago, he said, it's harder to find a good student than it is to find a good teacher. That's what he told me when he was teaching me martial arts years and years ago when I was a police officer. He said, you can find good teachers, but it's hard to find a student that's going to sit in that thing and learn. It's hard to find a student that's going to be humble. And it's hard to find a meek student that will take what you give him and will do the exercises and will sweat till he can't sweat anymore. It's hard to find a student that will show up day after day. It's hard to find somebody that will lay their life down for the principles that they're learning. Mm-hmm. And you see, that's what Jesus did. He set the example of humility. He set the example of meekness. And it says it right here. Okay, now watch this. Pastor, tell us what Jesus says in the book of Matthew. Now listen to this. You all have heard this before, but you're going to get it a little different now. Matthew 5:5.
Okay. Matthew 5:5 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Amen. Thank you. Blessed are the meek. Or some people say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now that, of course, is part of the Beatitudes. Right? In the book of Matthew. And that's where Jesus spoke to the multitudes on the mountain. Okay? That was at the beginning of his famous, well-known Sermon on the Mount. And at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke what has come to be known as the Beatitudes. Okay? And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Remember those? Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, all these things are known as the Beatitudes. And Jesus describes what is considered a true an ideal disciple. Did you hear me? These make up what is a true and ideal disciple and the rewards that the disciple would receive both now and in the future. You see what I mean? And meekness is right along the top. Hmm. You see what I mean? That gives us something to think about. For you can have all the knowledge you want. And you can have all the good gifting that you want. But if you're not meek, guess what? Something's missing. And this is important. So you see that a person's meekness secures an inheritance in all that is in the earth. That's what it said. The meek shall inherit the earth.
Thank you.
That's big. God is not a God that he will lie. His word is true. Sometimes we let a little sentence like that go by, but that means a lot. That means a lot. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. Wait a minute. We ought to be examining ourselves. The meek shall inherit the earth.
Meek.
Right? So if the Creator sees meekness and humility as necessary in order for a person to become a disciple character, right, that pretty much shoots holes in that old worldly theory about meekness is weakness, doesn't it? That shoots a hole in that theory. Wouldn't you agree? I know I would. See, in the world, to be meek is to appear weak. You know, they'll take your kindness for weakness. You've heard that phrase before, mm-hmm. right? Oh, you took my kindness for a weakness. Oh, we got to fight now. You think I'm weak, huh? I ain't nobody's wimp. Yeah, that type of thing. And in the world, okay, that's what we're taught. To be meek is to be weak, all right? And in many cases now, people become confused. And they feel that unless they aggressively showcase or display their talent or their expertise in a given area, that they're going to be perceived by others as being weak. You see that in politics a lot, don't you? You see people that start bragging on themselves. Have we seen some of that? Bragging on themselves, saying, I can do it better than anybody else.
Mm-hmm,
and I'm the best at this.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's done it till they got me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody did it till they got me. We'll see that. You see that. Something happened to my voice. But anyway, but I'm saying, we see certain things, okay? And that's because we don't want to appear weak. And we get confused. And we don't want to be perceived by others as being weak or insignificant. Uh-huh. Unproductive, like we can't do the job. So what happens is we almost start to promote ourselves, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We start patting ourselves on the back.
Yes, we do.
We start doing things like that. And you see that, okay? You've seen that. Sometimes maybe some of you have seen it in your jobs, right? Where somebody is always in, there's that one person that's always in somebody else's cubicle trying to look over your shoulder, talking about what you're doing. Well, I do it like this. And they're looking all over your shoulder saying, no, see, I do it like that. That's the way you should do it. Until you do it right there, you're not going to get it right. I'll see you later. And then they go to somebody else. Have you seen people like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's because, see y'all nodding your heads. That's because that's that worldly thing about we've got to self-promote ourselves. But that's the world. And we expect that in the world because they don't know Jesus. But guess what, saints? Have you seen it in the church? Maybe not in your church, but certainly a church coming near you, okay? You'll see it in the church sometimes, uh-huh. People tend to almost flaunt tout their spiritual gifts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. They almost that it seems that they want to promote themselves. Like, you just got to recognize that I just have this gift. This is just my gift. See, I've been gifted. I've been gifted and lifted and gifted. And this is what I do. You know, and you see that. We see it in the church to the point that they almost force other people to adopt their point of view. You see, and this is not what it is to be meek, okay? Sometimes it's almost as if they're the spiritual authority in all things.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And this is not what it is to be meek, because this can cause others to feel maligned, and it can also cause others to be judged wrongly. So we have to be careful about that thing. The point is, you come to understand true meekness. If you come to understand true meekness, then you're less apt to expose what in reality is your own. Did you hear that?
Say that again.
All right, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again. Unless you come to understand true meekness, you are, until you come to understand true meekness, let me put it another way, you're less apt to expose in reality what is your own weakness.
Amen. Psalm 137:11 says, "But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click the donate button to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord strengthens you as you follow Him. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Listen, while you're there, connect with us. Like and follow us on Facebook. And if you've been blessed by today's messages, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. In need of prayer or encouragement? we're here for you. Call 707-759-5244. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. Walk with us through the Bible Wednesdays at 8 p.m. live on Facebook. All services are available on YouTube and online at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week as Pastor Joel concludes today's message, Meekness versus Weakness, Adopting the Mind of Christ. Until next time.